Let us open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2 and read the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 2, we'll read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The text for this Christmas Day service is taken from this chapter, Luke 2, the verses 17 to 20. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Dear congregation, what do you think it would have been like to have been there? That's a question we sometimes ask ourselves when we hear about something maybe from long ago. What would it have liked to have been there? What would it have been like to have been in Geneva when Calvin was the preacher? Or what would it have been like to have been at the Synod of Dort? Or maybe you have another place in history where you wonder what it would have been like to have been there. This morning we want to ask what it would have been like to have been in Bethlehem on the day that Jesus was born. And we're told about Bethlehem on the day of Christ's birth. That's what you can write over the sermon. Bethlehem on the day of Christ's birth. We'll see four things. First of all, there was preaching, there was pausing, there was pondering, and fourthly, there was praising. Bethlehem, on the day of Christ's birth, there was preaching, there was pausing, there was pondering, and there was praising. Yes, it had been an unforgettable night for the shepherds as they had kept watch over their flocks by night on the night of Christ's birth. How many shepherds do you think there were? Maybe three? Maybe 10? maybe 20, we don't know. We don't know their names. We know that shepherds were despised in the Hebrew society of their day, but they were not despised by God. For that night, the message of the birth of Christ was heralded to them. Yes, a powerful message. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That they heard the first gospel message after the birth of Christ, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's what they heard, that the Savior has been born. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. There they were in the presence of God, hearing these gospel tidings that was meant to set them in motion. And it did. Because they not only heard the word, they went to see the word. They believed the word that they heard. And faith doesn't set the word beside you. Faith doesn't shrug the word off. Faith doesn't let it roll off. No, it grips you and you want to go and see for yourself by faith what the Lord has made known. That's what the shepherds did. And they went with haste. And that's fitting too. Because you don't know if you'll be there tomorrow. You don't know if you'll be able to celebrate Christmas next year. They went with haste. And they found him, for the Lord had promised that those who seek shall find, and those that knock, the door shall be opened. Maybe the shepherds had to knock on the door into the stable. And the door was opened. And so it came to pass that they found him whom they sought, the child Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and they looked on him. How long were they there? What all went through their minds and their hearts? It isn't told us. No, we're not told much about these men. We're told a little bit about their ears, the news they heard. We're told about their eyes they went to see. But we're also told about their mouths. Because they heard the word, they went to see the word, and they spoke the word. That's how our text begins. That with them making known abroad the sayings that were told unto them. Their mouths go open. Here these shepherds become preachers. They don't just say to each other, now let's go back to the fields. The sheep are there. And we need some sleep now. It's been a long night. No. Verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They wanted to tell others what had happened. They wanted to share it. Who did they share it with? Oh, they must have shared it with Joseph and Mary. No doubt they shared it with them. But they didn't just pass it on to them. Also, the inhabitants of Bethlehem must hear these things. And so we find these shepherds becoming messengers. No, these men were not trained. They had no theological training, that's true. But the Lord uses them nonetheless. The Lord turns these simple shepherds into faithful messengers, and he doesn't always use the most educated, and he doesn't always use the most articulate and the best communicators, as someone has said to me, and I agree with him, that the Lord for preachers uses the worst material, weakest means. But weakest means fulfill his will. For the angels are not going to appear now to the inhabitants of Bethlehem. They have brought the message to the shepherds, and the shepherds have been entrusted with that message. And what if they had kept that to themselves? What if they had kept quiet? Jesus says in another place in Luke 19, verse 40, when the Pharisees wanted to silence the disciples of Jesus for speaking about the great works of Christ, then the Lord Jesus said to them, if these should hold their peace, then the stones would cry out. These shepherds must speak. Their hearts have been touched, and then their mouth flows over. Yes, they are weak means, but they bring a faithful message, for they've listened carefully, they've been set into motion, and what do they speak about? Do you think that they would speak about themselves? And about their experiences? But our text says that they speak of Him. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What did they say? Let me mention three things. For one thing, that He is the Christ. He is the Christ. That's what the angel had said to them, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they're going around Bethlehem saying, the promised Messiah has come. The one prophesied of in the Old Testament, whom the Father had promised to give, He has come. The one appointed by the Father, the one anointed by the Spirit to be the chief prophet, our only high priest and our eternal king, as Lord's Day 12 says, He's come. The Savior who saves from the greatest evil, sin, and who brings to the highest good communion with God. That's what people need to hear of Christ, and that He has come, and they need to know who He is and what He has done. And then we can say to others, He is the Christ. Secondly, He's a child. He's a child. That's what verse 17b says. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And you might not expect that all that was said of Him would be said of a child. Just like you might not have expected that the wise men came looking for one who was born king. You don't expect a child to be born a king. You don't expect a child to be born a Messiah. You expect that, like in the book of Judges, people became judges. People became deliverers. They weren't always born deliverers, but of Christ, He was born a king. He was born the Christ. You can't just say that of Him as a 30-year-old adult as He begins His public ministry. It's what the prophets have foretold. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And there are these wonderful names attached to Him as a child already. That He is the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor. But He's come as a child. He's been born. That's what the angels had told to the shepherds. He's been born. And He's been born today. He's a baby. He's come as a child. And then you don't need to be afraid of a child. Do you? And you can understand that they said a third thing. Not only that He is the Christ, He's a child, but come. Come. That's what the angel had said to them, or had implied to them. You shall find this babe. And surely they must have told the inhabitants of Bethlehem, the citizens there in that town, He's the findable child, He's the findable Savior. He's the Lord who you can seek while He is to be found. That's what had set the shepherds in motion. You shall find this day. Then it seems to me that these shepherds desire that the citizens of Bethlehem would go to for themselves and see for themselves. Because he's a child. And he's so close by. You don't have to make a long trek. Go on a long and distant journey to meet him. He's right here. In your town. Come. That's the message of the Bible, isn't it? Doesn't just set forth the Christ became a child, but come. And that's why when you come to the last page of the Bible, there is that great invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And these shepherds have heard that word and have seen that word and now proclaim that word. And they say, come. Maybe they do that in the public square at Bethlehem, to telling the people as they wonder who these shepherds are and what they're doing here. Maybe it's still early in the morning and they knock on the doors in the homes in Bethlehem. But for good tidings of great joy like this, it's something to wake up for. That's something for which you don't stay in bed. That's something that you need to hear. And not so that you would go back to sleep again, but that you might know what John Bunyan wrote. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever your past, come and see. Yeah, you need to be awakened for that. That's a message worth sharing. And what a privilege these shepherds had. Not only to be drawn to see the Christ child, to behold him with eyes of faith, not only to have heard the message, but then also with their mouths to be made messengers and to be equipped, as Lord's Day 12 puts it, so that they confess his name. Just as Luke will tell us in his second book, in the book of Acts, the second chapter also on the day of Pentecost with Peter speaking and the disciples speaking the wonderful works of God. Those who have come to see the Lord Jesus with eyes of faith, you can expect that you begin to speak of him, don't you? In your own way, maybe. With your own limitations, maybe. And you stammer sometimes, because you don't always know how to say it. But a believer is someone who not only hears and sees, but speaks of him. How else would Bethlehem know it if the shepherds didn't say anything, if they kept it to themselves, if they just hid it in their hearts? How will parents, how will our children know if we don't tell them? How will our co-workers know if we keep our mouths closed? How will our community know if we don't spell it out and speak to them of this Christ who is come? Friends, are we messengers of these most joyful tidings ourselves? Do we make it known at home? And as our text says, abroad. You don't have to go as a missionary to a far place, but do you make it known at home and abroad? What our mouth is full of, what our heart is full of rather, that our mouth will flow over. There was preaching in the Bethlehem the day Christ was born. Secondly, there was pausing. There was pausing. People paused. Verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them. citizens of Bethlehem paused. They paused to listen to the shepherds. You can't say of the inhabitants of Bethlehem that they didn't listen, that they just went back to sleep, that they plugged their ears as the shepherds began to speak. They didn't say to the shepherds, "Leave us alone." No, they stopped. They paused to listen. They paused to think. After all, it's not every day that you hear about Christ and that He's born and He's close by. They paused to listen. They paused to think. They paused to wonder, our text says. And when Luke uses this word in verse 18, it's not the first time he's used this word. It's used already in chapter 1, verse 21, where Zacharias met the angel in the holy place, the altar of incense, and he comes out of the temple and he's supposed to bless the people, but he can't, and he's speechless, he's silent, no words come out of his mouth. Words can't come out of his mouth. And then the same word is used to describe, and the people marvel. They've got questions. They have a whole bunch of question marks in their minds. What is this? What's happened? Why? And that's the reaction of the citizens in Bethlehem too. They're filled with questions. Maybe they look at each other. They turn to each other. And maybe they ask some questions of each other. They have questions about the message. Questions about these messengers. Do you understand this? What do you think this means? Would the Lord use such despised men? He could surely have used other messengers, couldn't he? Maybe they talk about it even over breakfast. Maybe they talk about it in their work that day yet. But that was all. There was pausing, but no coming. Calvin says there was not one who entered the manger to worship the child. Sad. And it tells us, doesn't it, that pausing is not the same as believing. Considering is not the same as coming. Wondering is not the same as worshiping. And then you see the difference between the shepherds and the citizens of Bethlehem. They respond differently. The shepherds said, "Let us now go and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Verse 15. And the citizens of Bethlehem pause. That's what people still do today. I mean, this is a time in our land when people pause. They spend time together. It's a day off. And they try to make this a cozy day. There's some gatherings and there's some food and there's some singing maybe and some Christmas music and there's gift exchange. And I'm not saying that's all bad. But if that's all there is, won't do. In our world, there's just some pausing. There's no repenting. There's no believing. People stop. But they don't come to see Christ the King. They don't bow before Him. And that's not only a danger out there in the world, that's a danger in the church. That we pause. We come under the Word. But there's a danger that James writes about it in his letter, that we are hearers of the Word, but not doers of the Word. Or to put it differently, there's the danger of being hearers of Christ, but not comers to Christ, to hear of the Lord Jesus who has come into this world, but not to believe on Him. No wonder James says, with all the strongest words he can put together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." And he's saying, set aside sin and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's possible to be a hearer of the word, and that's privileged. That's more than many in this world. But it's possible to be a hearer only. Privileged. And then James adds, deceiving your own selves. Oh, what joy there could have been in this small town of Bethlehem if people had come, if people had gone to see the Lord Jesus, even if they'd gone with their questions, even if they had gone with their lack of understanding, but if they had gone in faith to see the Messiah. But there was no such joy in Bethlehem. And instead, before 2 years are passed by, Bethlehem is turned into a place of sorrow. And so many children are destroyed. There was preaching. There was pausing. Thirdly, there was pondering. Pondering. Mary had heard the same message as the citizens of Bethlehem, but she did something else with that message. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's what Mary did. The word she heard, she received it as God's word, as coming from heaven, spoken by these simple shepherds. Yes, in Luke 1, we meet Mary as someone who listens to God's word and who bows under God's word. Here we're told two more things about what she does with that word. She not only listens to it and bows under it, she kept these words and pondered them in her heart. And with that word ponder, we're given quite a picture. That word ponder is a rich word. It's a word that's maybe even hard to translate. It's a word that gives a picture of making a puzzle. Maybe boys and girls, you've made puzzles. What do you do then when you make a puzzle? Then you have these different pieces of a puzzle and you try to fit them together. And that's what Mary is doing. She has all these different pieces given to her by the Lord, and she's trying to put these pieces of the puzzle together. She doesn't know where to put them all. Making a puzzle doesn't always go that quickly, but she sees some pieces belong together, and she puts them together, and Mary sees more and more of the picture as these puzzle pieces are coming together. She had received so many more pieces of the puzzle from the message of the shepherds. Later she'll receive some more when she meets Simeon in the temple and throughout her early years. Also when they're together at the wedding of Cana and on Golgotha's cross. Shall I show you a few of those puzzle pieces that Mary received? There's that puzzle piece that announced who He is. The Savior, Christ the Lord. That puzzle piece of the greatness of Christ. After all, the angel had said, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. But there is also that puzzle piece of Him being a child. Not only the greatness of Christ, but this, that He is a child. And so poor, being wrapped in swaddling clothes, and Him being rejected. There is no room for Him in the inn. There's the puzzle piece of the song of the angels, and the coming of the shepherds, And the surprise of the citizens of the town of Bethlehem who don't seek him. These are weighty things for her. She ponders them in her mind, but not just in her mind. Our text says she ponders them in her heart. In the heart, that's where the Holy Spirit works faith. Not in the mind, but in the heart. She loved what she was hearing. She loved to hear about the Savior. She needed the Savior. She's pondering them in her her heart. And she's not careless with the words she hears. Sometimes children, when it comes to puzzles, in our home at least, we sometimes lose puzzle pieces. And later when we try to put the puzzle together again, there's a few puzzle pieces missing. That they've maybe fallen behind the couch or they're underneath the fridge. But Mary, no, she keeps them. She doesn't want to lose any puzzle piece. She kept them, verse 19 says. And that gives a picture of guarding something of great value, holding on to something you don't want to lose. And that's how Mary spent Christmas. A true child of David, don't you think? Who also knew what it was to ponder in his heart. It says in Psalm 39, while I was musing, the fire burned. Who says in Psalm 63 that he remembered the Lord on his bed and meditated on him in the night watches. How profitable this is, friends. How profitable it is to us. How profitable it was for Mary. It would give light on what would happen. It would explain, no, not all at once, but it would explain over the years who he was and what he had come to do. And what if she had not treasured these things in her heart? What would she say that day when Luke, the evangelist, would come to her and visit her? As Luke tells us in the opening verses of this gospel account, he has spoken with many, no doubt with Mary, and he would ask her to tell him what had happened, and then she told him. With a clear mind, and with a heart affected by it all, what had happened. And so the opening chapter of Luke 1 and 2 could be written. Yes, guided and inspired by the Holy Spirit, but Luke heard it from Mary, who pondered and kept all these things in her heart. Do we do that? Do we take the Scriptures for ourselves? And do we stop to ponder it? Do we take good books to read it, to think about it, to meditate on it? It's sad if we don't have time for that. If we don't take up the Scriptures and if we don't take up good books and if we don't have time to meditate on it when we're so busy getting text messages maybe and we're so concerned about what's happening in the world maybe. That we don't say with the psalmist, my soul in silence waits for God. My Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. God's people, they know what meditating is. And they need it. Thomas Watson, Puritan, wrote, without meditation, the truths of God will not stay with us. He says, the heart is hard and the memory slippery, and without meditation, all is lost. And do you see, boys and girls, young people, what the Lord is doing every time He brings you to church is He's giving you puzzle pieces. Here a puzzle piece, there a puzzle piece, in order that you would begin to ponder that and put the pieces together, fit them together, and keep them together. How much of the picture of the gospel do you see? What a blessing it is to ponder, for you know what happens when we ponder, then we see the necessity and the suitability and the sufficiency of Christ, and then we say with the bride in the Song of Solomon, He is altogether lovely. And if you say, but Pastor, I think that that's a waste of time. I've got so much to do. My friend, there are many in hell who see now properly that they have wasted their time with things that didn't matter. And people in church who didn't take up those puzzle pieces and didn't ponder them themselves and who didn't keep them in their heart, and then in hell they're pondering it forever. But they're lost. In Bethlehem there was preaching, pausing, pondering, and fourthly, praising. Praising. For then we see the shepherds returning to their sheep. Verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We see the shepherds praising. They're singing a song. What kind of a song was it? We're not told, but there's three things that we can say of it. For one thing, it was a song with a focus. It was a song with a focus. It was focused on God, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. They weren't taken up with man. They weren't taken up with themselves. They're taken up with God and His works. And I don't know if this was the first song that they had ever sung. I think these being expectant shepherds, they had known the Psalms and they had sung the Psalms. David too had been a shepherd. And we hear him sing in Psalm 8, Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim in the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Had these shepherds maybe sung this before when they saw the wonders of God in creation all around them, when they saw the stars? But now again they glorify God, and it's fitting. For God must have the honor. He's the one who has given His Son. He has given His Son unasked for by us. Freely He has given Him. Sovereignly He has given Him. And then there's the song with a focus that's Godward. Secondly, it was a song that not only had a focus, it was a song that was full. It was full, for they praised God for, our text says, all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That they didn't want to pass over anything. They didn't want to pass over one thing. What was said about Jesus, what was seen in the Lord Jesus, there was not one thing they felt was unimportant. After all, the message centered in on the person and work of Jesus Christ and what He would do and what He would be for sinners' gain. They see the goodness of the Lord and their heart flows over and there's nothing they want to skip over. It was a song that had a focus. It was a song that was full. And thirdly, it's a song of faith. It's a song of faith. For you might have expected them to sing while they stood at the manger, the presence of Mary and Joseph. You would have expected maybe that they would lift their voices there, and that would have been fitting too. But that's not when we hear them singing. They sing after they had left the manger. They sing after they have spoken to the citizens of Bethlehem. It was a song of faith, not a song of sight. faith had been exercised. And that's why they sing, now it's no more sight, and there really is nothing to see. But they've been told of the Savior, and of the Christ, and of the Lord. What really did they see? They saw a helpless child. But not just any child, for they had seen with eyes of faith their Savior, the one who would come to live the perfect life in obedience to His Father, and the one who would die the substitutionary death to save sinners from their sin. And so they sing by faith, maybe with that Psalm 8 that I referred you to before, Lord, our Lord, Thy glorious name. All Thy wondrous works proclaim, in the heavens with radiant signs, evermore Thy glory shines. Infant lips Thou dost ordain, wrath and vengeance to restrain, weakest means fulfill Thy will, mighty enemies to still. Have you learned to sing along with the shepherds? Have you had choir practice? I mean, by the Spirit's grace. After all God's people learn to sing. Maybe they're not the best singers. Maybe they're off tune. But the Spirit takes you into music school. And the Spirit gives you a heart that's set on the Son. And the Spirit teaches you to sing. And He gives you a new song in your mouth. And you begin to sing, sometimes in the stillness of your own room, to God. Other times in the midst of the congregation, with your heart and mind and soul, but you sing. And then you go back to work, and then you sing not just on Sundays, but also on Mondays. You go into your work week, if it's right, because you've looked by faith and you've listened by faith and you desire to live by faith, persuaded that He will do what He has said, persuaded that He will save His people from their sins, persuaded that He will lead and guide you even in the midst of difficulties, struggles, and fears, the weariness at work. As the shepherds return, yes, weary, but praising God. Have you heard the message? Has there been a pausing and a pondering and a praising? And here then, you might say, is the echo of the angel song. The angels who sang magnificently, who sang perfectly, who sang sinlessly, the song Glory to God in the Highest, that song that says God will have all the glory. Someone says, but why did they not sing this song in Bethlehem, in the streets of Bethlehem? We might have liked that. Maybe there would have been a good attendance at that unusual early morning concert of the shepherds that morning. But it's true, they sing in the field. Who was there to hear them now? Just some sheep. And God heard them. And through the child Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit, this song of the shepherds is pleasing to Him. For He sees His own work in it. He hears His own work in it. And it's to His honor. Yes, He will have the glory. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing and gracious Lord, yes, Thou art to be blessed as the God of Israel, who has visited His own, who has redemption unto us made known, in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that He would be the object of our heart's affection, of our mind's consideration, and of faith's view. Lord, we thank Thee that we could be taken in the Spirit to Bethlehem on the day of Christ's birth. We pray Thee that our hearts would be touched, our mouths would be opened, and that we would see other sinners whom we meet, whether we know them or not, as travelers to that great eternity. Give us a burden for the lost. Help us to be simple in our own way and faithful messengers of these most joyful tidings, that there would be pondering, not just pausing, but pondering, and that by faith also appraising. Lord, take us under Thy care. Save us from our sin. Work mightily by Thy Holy Spirit, and give us a good day. Also this afternoon, together with the children and young people of the congregation, grant that it may be edifying, and that is what it's meant to be, as Scripture is quoted, as songs are sung, and as we hear again of Jesus, who saves unto the uttermost all those who come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to intercede for His needy people. Forgive that which was amiss in preaching and in listening, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.